there are all sorts of different kinds of calls. There are, of course, different kinds of phone calls. Some calls you answer right away. There are other calls you let go straight to voicemail. There's those calls that come at 2 o'clock in the morning. Those are never good. There's the call you might get from an old friend that you haven't heard from in a long time. That's a good call to receive. There's the call you might get from a kind stranger who says, "Hey, I found a wallet with this number inside of it. Did you lose a wallet?" Well, there's a call you like to get. When I was in college, several of my classmates received a call. They were called to active duty. And they were sent to Kuwait and Saudi Arabia and Iraq. And I remember all of us glued to the television sets in our dorm lobbies as for the first time war was waged on live television. And we couldn't help but wondering where they were as they were answering that call. You might receive a call from the IRS. Now there's a call you don't want to get, but you better answer it, if you're smart anyway. There's the time that the coach calls you into the game. But there's also the call to the principal's office. Remember, Teresa and I were called and told that we'd won a free vacation to the Bahamas. They only wanted our credit card number so they could process the registration fee. Don't answer that call if you get it. There are all different sorts of calls, but this morning I want to talk to you about a different kind of call. That is the call of God. Because there is one call that we all receive that is more important than any other call. The New Testament talks about various aspects of this call upon our lives. In Romans 1:6, we are called to belong to Jesus. Romans 8:28, we are called according to His purpose. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, among several passages, we are called to be holy. 1 Corinthians 1:9, we are called into fellowship with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 7:15, we are called to peace, to live in peace. Galatians 5:13, we are called to be free. In Ephesians 1:18, we are called to hope. Colossians 3:15, we are called to peace. 1 Timothy 6:12, we are called to eternal life. 1 Peter 2:21, we are called to suffer for righteousness. That's a tough call. 1 Peter 3:9, we are called to repay insult with blessing and to inherit a blessing. Now, these aren't different calls. These all come under the umbrella of the call of God. The call of God to sinners unto Himself. And this is a call that goes out to all people. But we must answer that call. We must respond to that call in faith. Now, I believe that we are all born with a longing, with a need to be called to something important. We all want to know that we have been called to something that matters. We want to know that our life is going somewhere. That we're accomplishing something, that we're a part of something important. We don't want to think that we're just meandering through this life without direction, without purpose, that none of it matters. We want to know that there is a plan behind it all. And I think this is why those stories that are universally loved are stories about common everyday people that are called to something special. Because there is a part of us, we want to be Frodo Baggins, just an everyday hobbit who loves our cigars and second breakfasts, who's called to take the ring against insurmountable odds back to Mount Doom to save Middle Earth. We want to be Luke Skywalker, the average farm boy who has no future beyond that small farm, who suddenly finds themselves thrust into the midst of intergalactic politics. And we have to take the secret plans of the Death Star to the princess so that we can help the rebellion defeat the Dark Empire. We want to be Katniss Everdeen, who not only has to win the Hunger Games for her district, but take on the capital to save the people. We want to know that we've been called to something important, something that matters, and that's the call of God. 4,000 years ago, there was a man who heard and answered that call. His name was Abram. We know him today as Abraham, and the New Testament tells us that Abraham was the prototype of everyone who would respond to the call of God in faith. He was the first to make the journey of faith, and in his case, it was a literal journey. But spiritually speaking, if you are a follower of Christ, it's the same journey that you are on this morning. We're told in Romans 4:11 that Abraham is the father of all who believe. And so by looking at Abraham, there's a lot of things that we can learn about our own journey of faith. And that's what we'll be doing over these next several weeks this summer. Now, God's call of Abraham was his first step to save humanity from sin. The first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis chronicle an ever-tightening downward spiral of sin as humanity goes from bad to worse. The early chapters of Genesis aren't a story of evolution, they're a story of devolution. The situation is described in Genesis 6 this way: the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Now, God judged this wickedness through the flood. But the flood merely punished sin. It didn't solve the problem of sin. It didn't restore a relationship of people with their Creator. And if God was to save us from our sin, He would have to do something else. And by calling Abraham, God chose one person out of all of sinful humanity, and He called that one person into a special relationship with Himself. So through that one person and through His descendants, He would prepare the world for Jesus Christ, so that one day, through Jesus, God could call all people to Himself. And so by answering that call, by believing in God, Abraham was the very first person to look to Jesus in faith. And God tells us in the New Testament that we are to follow Abraham's footsteps in answering the call. So turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. So we read our text again. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Now let's look at this call this morning. The call consists of two basic parts: the command and the promise. God's call always involves a command. If you want to have a relationship with God, if you want to respond to His call, we must recognize that as our Creator, He has authority over our lives. He has rightful power and authority. Now, in our sin, we snub our noses at God. We demand authority over our own lives. We go our own way. We recognize no one's power but our own. But saving faith responds to God's call by recognizing His authority and by submitting to it. And the command comes in verse 1. Leave your country, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. Now God's command to Abraham is basically one word, go. But there are two sides to this go coin. There is the go from and the go to. Abraham is to go from. He is to leave one set of things behind and then going toward something new. Before Abraham could recognize or realize God's plan for him and see His promise, he had to leave his past behind. When you are called, you cannot answer that call and stay where you are. Now this is something that the younger generation might not get right away, because everybody's got cell phones today. And so when you get a call, you just reach in your pocket and answer, right? But those of you that are a bit older, you remember the days when there was only one phone in the house, right? And it was like stuck to the wall, and it had a cord on it. Yeah, 100 feet long. Yeah, and if you lived in a big household, a big family, what was it like when that telephone rang? Yeah. Because everybody thought, well, maybe it's for me, maybe it's for me. My sister and I were always getting into fights over who answered the phone. But if you receive a call, you've got to go from where you are. And when you go on your journey of faith, you can't take all your baggage with you. Alyssa had an interesting project in school several years ago. They were studying the westward expansion and you know, the pioneers heading west on these covered wagon trains. And they did this exercise where they pretended they were going to go west in a covered wagon. Well, a covered wagon can only carry so much. And so they had to choose very carefully what they took in their covered wagon. For instance, you could take all the feed that your horses would need, but that took up a lot of room. It took up a lot of weight. Or you could just hope and pray that they would find enough grass and stuff to eat along the way. Do you carry enough food for you to eat now? Or do you bring seeds so that you can plant food to grow later? Do you bring all the clothes that you need now? Or do you leave enough room to bring a spinning wheel so that you can make your own clothes later? And those were the types of choices they had to go through, because on this journey, you couldn't take everything with you. Well, on our spiritual journey, it's the same way, but to a much greater degree. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:14, He says, "Small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life." There's not room when responding to God's call. There's not room in your spiritual journey to take it all with you. If you want to answer God's call, you've got to leave it all behind. Now, Abraham is called to leave three things behind: his country, his people, and his father's household. That is, his extended family, his relatives. Talk about pulling up one's roots. He had to leave behind all that was familiar and known, his friends, his family, everything he had known in his life to this point. He had to turn his back on it and leave, and head out into the unknown with nothing but God's word and his belief in it. Now, God's call on your life doesn't always require that you pull up physical roots. You don't always have to sell your house or change your job or move. Although there are times in our spiritual journey. In fact, if we had time to share our stories this morning, we would find out that there are several here who have moved, who have changed jobs, who've changed schools, degree programs, because of God's call in their lives. I'm in the ministry, and I changed partway through because of God's call on my life. And there does come those times where we might have to change those things and make a major life change. But when God called Abraham to leave these things behind, he wasn't being mean. There was a reason God called him to leave his country, his people, his relatives behind. First of all, his hometown was a wicked and wretched place. If you were a female in that culture, chances are at some point during your younger years, you would be forced into ritual prostitution. You would have to go down to the local temple, and there you would have to service other men as a part of their worship. And they worshiped idols. Another part of the worship of idols was that they would sacrifice children, human sacrifice, in the worship of idols. And we know from the book of Joshua that Abraham's family were idol worshipers. They were pagans. They were deeply involved in all of this stuff. That was his background. That's who his people were. And God needed to bring him out of that, break him away from all of that. His family would only be an evil influence in his life. And one of the things that we will see in the coming weeks is that Abraham didn't follow God fully in all of these things, just as God told him. For instance, when he first leaves, he brings his dad with him, and it causes a delay of several years. He also brings his nephew Lot with him, and that gets him involved in all sorts of nasty messes. And so when we talk about how Abraham responded to God's call in faith, and that Abraham was a man of faith, that's true, but it wasn't a perfect faith. Abraham had a flawed faith. And that's going to be one of our major themes throughout this series. A flawed faith is not a failed faith. Just because you've messed up, just because you've fallen flat on your face, just because you've taken a wrong turn, doesn't mean you can't get back up, that you can't get back on course, that you can't keep following God. And one of the reasons why I like Abraham is he's a guy who screwed up royally, but he kept going. I can identify with that. And my guess is that a lot of us here too can do the same. But when God calls Abraham to leave behind his people and his family, he wasn't being mean. He was looking out for Abraham. He had his best interest in mind. In fact, he was trying to do two things. He was trying to protect Abraham, and he was trying to provide for him. And so the call to leave was complete, even to the point that God calls Abraham to leave his name behind. We'll see this in one of the later texts. God gives Abram a new name, a new identity, a new purpose. But if you want to answer God's call and have a relationship with your Creator, there are going to be some things in your life that He's going to call you to leave behind. He's going to tell you to get rid of some things. There might be some relationships in your life that He's going to say, you know what? You need to leave those on the side of the road and not take them with you in the passenger seat of your faith journey. And it might not be easy. In fact, I'll promise you, it'll be very difficult at times. But I can also tell you this. It'll be worth it. And that God only calls us to these difficult things because He has your best interest in mind. He is looking out for you. And just like with Abraham, God is trying to protect you, or He is trying to provide for you. And there comes a time in every journey of faith where, like Abraham, we must leave behind what is familiar and known. And we've got to leave the place we are living. No, not the physical address, but the moral place that we're living, the emotional place that we are living, the psychological place that we are living, the spiritual place we are living. And we've got to cut those influences that have shaped our sinful lives. And God cannot build in you the life of faith if you just stay where you are. The call of God always involves separation. I like what F.B. Meyer writes about this and the importance of leaving. He says, nothing strengthens us so much as isolation and uprooting. Let a young man leave his country or be put into a responsible position or be forced to his own resources, and he will develop powers of which there never would have been, there would have been no trace if he had always lived at home. But what is true of the natural qualities of the soul is preeminently true of faith. So long as we are quietly at rest amid favorable and undisturbed surroundings, faith sleeps as an undeveloped muscle, a thread, a germ, an idea. But when we are pushed out from these surroundings with no one but God to look to, faith grows suddenly into a steel cable, a monarch oak, a master principle of life. And so God calls us to leave. And the journey of faith is greater than family or friends or career or education or politics. He tells us to leave it all behind in pursuit of Him. Paul writes of this in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, as he describes what we are to leave behind. He says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of its Creator." Paul's basically saying there, leave all this stuff behind. So in our spiritual journey, we are called to leave something old so that we can go to something new and something better. Because the command here isn't just to leave, but it's to go towards something. And leaving and going always go together. You cannot go on the journey of faith if only you are trying to leave something behind. You've got to have a destination in view. You've got to know where you're going. When Teresa and I bought our first house, one of the ways we were able to afford it is that it needed a lot of work. And, this thing was like a time capsule straight out of the 1970s, especially the kitchen. And so that's where we started. And we begin to rip out all of the old. The old countertops, the old floor, the old woodwork, some of the appliances, everything's out. And once we got rid of all of the old, and once we left behind all of the old, were we done? No. In fact, it was pretty depressing at that point. You go into the kitchen and everything is stripped bare, it's a mess. It was quite depressing, actually. And we wondered at the time, oh my, what have we got ourselves into? We had to replace the old with something new and something better. And so we put in new countertops and new woodwork and new floors and a new sink. And so it was all something better. But this is where many people struggle in their faith journey. They try to leave the old behind. They try to say no to old habits and old foolish choices and old ways of doing things, but they don't pursue the right things in their place. And because they never replace it with something new and something better, they continue to struggle. They have frustration, and there's no joy in that. There's no blessing in that. And see, the only way that you can leave anger and a bad temper behind is if you pursue gentleness and peace. The only way that you can leave greed and materialism behind is if you pursue gratitude and contentment. And the only way that you can leave lust and sexual immorality behind is if you pursue purity, if you pursue a passionate love and desire for your spouse. You've got to replace the old with something new and something better. And God never asks us to leave without giving us some place to go. Now, it might not be known, it might not be familiar, but we can trust God's Word because God never rips out the old without giving us something new and better to put in its place. Now, God's call not only involves a command, it also involves a promise. Just as leaving and going go hand in hand, so does God's command and God's promise. God doesn't always give us reasons for why He calls us to do what He calls us to do. He doesn't always tell us why He wants us to leave this or that. But He does give us His promises. Following God's call is never without its reward. And God promises to make Abraham into a great nation, to bless all the peoples of the earth through him. And notice, nowhere in these verses does God give Abraham an explanation. In fact, you can read through Abraham's whole story, and God never gives Abraham a full explanation. Now, here's how my plan works. Here's how it's all going to work out. Here's where everything's going. Never does that. But He doesn't want Abraham wandering in the dark. And so He gives Abraham His promise. You see, the life of faith is not some sort of inside joke where God doesn't let us in on it. Sadly, though, there are too many people for whom faith becomes something like that. I remember years ago, I was working a week of church camp. And the juniors and seniors, how many juniors and seniors do we have? How many are juniors, seniors? All right, don't ever do what I'm about to say, okay? But they were playing a joke on the freshman campers. And they had this joke they would tell. It was a story. And I don't remember the whole deal, but it was about two polar bears that were on two different icebergs. And one day the icebergs pass each other, and one polar bear cries out to the other one, "Radio!" All right, it doesn't make sense because it's not supposed to make sense. It was a joke without a punchline. And they would tell the story, and all the juniors and seniors would laugh like it was the funniest thing ever. And all the freshmen are like, "I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. It's stupid." And then the older kids would look at the younger kids like, "You're an idiot. What do you mean you don't get that? That's hilarious. Well, explain it to me." "No, you'll figure it out." And I swear to you, by Wednesday, there were freshmen who said they got it. And the story would be told, and they would laugh and laugh. They didn't realize they were the joke. And there are sometimes that people feel like that's kind of what faith is, that God's doing His thing, but we don't know. He's not going to let us in on it. And the joke's on us. But that's not what it is. That's why God gives us His promise. Frankly, I think that even if God did explain everything to us, I know I wouldn't be able to understand it. "You mean this connects to this to connect?" You know, by the time He got over here, I'd be lost. I'd say, "No, Lord, can you start over at the beginning again, please?" No, He's an infinite mind. I'm very finite. So God doesn't give us an explanation. What He gives us is a promise. And if you look through Scripture, almost everywhere there is a command, there is a promise. He wants us to know that it's worth it. And God promises two things here: to make Abraham into a great nation and to make him a blessing to the earth. Abraham was the first Hebrew. He was the father of the Jewish people. And it was through the Jewish people that God brought Jesus into this world. And it's through Jesus that God brings a blessing to all the peoples of the earth. It was through Abraham and his descendants that He prepared the world for His plan of salvation. And had Abraham stayed behind, none of those things would have happened. And he would not have received the promises of God. And the exact same thing is true of us. He gives us a command and He gives us a promise to go along with it. I'll give you one example. Acts chapter 2:38 gives us a command. He says, "Repent and be baptized." And if you think about it, it's very similar to what He tells Abraham. First of all, repent. Turn from your sin and go a different direction. Leave it behind. But He doesn't want us just to leave something. He wants us to go towards something. And so He tells us, "I want you to be baptized into Christ. I want you to be baptized into a new life." And he doesn't give us an explanation there, but he does give us a promise. He says, for the forgiveness of your sins, that past that you've left behind, he will wipe it all clean. And he says, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Spiritually, I will come and live inside of you. I will place my life inside of you. I will come and make something new in your life. We are called to leave and to go. God always takes, when he takes out the old, he puts something new and better in its place. And I think God also promises to make us into a great nation that will be a blessing. Not an earthly nation, mind you, but a spiritual people. You see, when you go on the journey of faith, you do not travel alone, but you become a part of a great wagon train, if you will, of other people who are along this journey, a great caravan of people called the church. In fact, the word church itself means those who are called out. We are those who have been called out. And wherever the church exists and lives and serves and ministers and loves in this world, that is where God's nation is. And in this way, we are a blessing. Because it's through our faith and through the church that God blesses the world. The most important way we bless the world is that we bring the message of Jesus. We bring the call of God to the world. But it isn't just that. With every act of love, with every word of kindness, we extend the blessing of God to a lost world. And when we gather as a church, and as a church, that blessing is only magnified. And when as a church we help someone in Jesus' name, we are being a blessing. Our mission this month is what we call Mission Marshfield. And what that is simply what we call a benevolence fund that we have to help those in need. Every week when we collect tithes and offerings, a portion of that money goes to support missions. And one of those ministries is this fund that we use to help out people in need. Sometimes that goes to help out people right here in our church family. But many times, it's just helping people out there in the community. And we've helped people with rent, with utilities, with food and groceries, with gas. And when we do this, we do it in Jesus' name. You know, there's been multiple times where I've talked with somebody and I've had the opportunity to pray with them. And we're being a blessing. When you volunteer, when you help coach a little league team, and you're being and providing a Christian example and a Christian witness, you're being a blessing. I've seen the pictures on Facebook. We've got some in our church family here that to help coach a little league team, and I remember seeing the picture of these guys praying with their boys. That's being a blessing. So whenever you serve in Jesus' name, whether it's in the church or out in the community, you are being a blessing. Now, I know as Christians, we aren't too thrilled about the state of things in the world in which we live. I know we're not happy with the direction of things in our country. But I want you to realize this morning, do you realize where things would be without God's people here? Of what it would be like if we weren't salt and light? We are a blessing. So we see here the call of God. And that call is a command to leave and to go. That call is a promise. And I want you to look at verse 4. Three simple words there. So Abram left. God called him, and he answered the call. God has called you. Have you answered the call? God's call to salvation goes out. But are you responding to that call? I want to ask you a couple questions as we close this morning. And that's this. What have you left and where are you going? What have you left? And where are you going? Now, Abraham was called to go to a place that God would show him. God didn't give him an address. God didn't show him a map, a Google map, and say, just follow the GPS. This shows you right where you're going. Nothing like that. Now, we know, looking back, hey, Abraham, it's all cool. It's the promised land. He didn't know that. What's our destination? I mean, ultimately, in our call, what has God called us to? What's our ultimate destination? Anybody brave enough to throw out a guess? What? All right, there you go. I'll give you a gold star to put on your fringe. For your fridge, Crystal. Yeah, sometimes we think in terms of, well, it's heaven, it's eternal life. No, even those things point to something greater. The ultimate destination in our journey of faith is God Himself. The destination is Him through a relationship with Jesus. It's not enough that we try to leave old habits behind in pursuit of new habits. That we leave foolish choices behind in pursuit of wise choices. We need to pursue Jesus. Otherwise, the journey of faith just becomes a list of do's and don'ts, but it's not really about a relationship with Him. Does that make sense? I was having a conversation with a fellow pastor here in town, and he was describing to me, he says, the mission of our church is to reach the unchurched and the dechurched. And I understand what he was saying about that. I'm not saying this to belittle anybody, not at all. But I think even in the language we use, we betray the wrong target. Ultimately, our purpose, our mission, isn't to church people. You know, the problem isn't that people aren't church, that they aren't plugged into a church and plugged into church programs. The problem is they don't have a relationship with God. And that needs to be our goal. We need to remember that's our destination. And so whatever God is calling you from and whatever you're trying to leave behind, remember that your goal, your destination is your Creator, is your Savior, is your Lord and your God. He's the destination. He's the goal in mind. So again, let me ask those two questions. What have you left and where are you going? Nobody should leave this room today without having some very clear answers to those questions. Are you comfortable with your answers? Do you know what you've left? What you're leaving? You know where you're going? God's call goes out. It goes out this morning. Have you responded to that call? Have you answered that call? Are you pursuing that call? Because it goes out, but it won't go out forever. I like what Jack Cottrell writes. He says, because God cares, He calls, and He calls, and calls, and calls. Are you listening? The praise team's going to come up and lead us in a song of invitation and commitment. And it's the perfect opportunity for you to answer that call. Maybe it's to answer the call, the command and promise that I read earlier in Acts 2:38. To repent, to turn from your sin, to leave your sin behind, and to pursue Christ in the waters of baptism, and to receive His promise of forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're looking for a church home, not so that you can be churched, but so that you can be a part of a spiritual family who's on the same journey, who's pursuing the same things. We'd love to have you here as a part of the church family here at Sunrise. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe there's something in your life you're struggling to leave behind. Maybe there's a hard time, you're having a hard time replacing that with the new thing that God wants to put it in its place. Whatever it may be, you can answer that call here this morning. Please stand.